Karen H. Karen H. from Baltimore.
I'm an addict. My name's Karen. When he was reading and everybody's going, we, I was thinking, we is scared, you know. And I just want to say, you know, it's like I'm so excited about life and about Narcotics Anonymous. And Narcotics Anonymous is my life. You know, I got clean December 23rd, 1990, and haven't felt it necessary to use since that day. You know, and... And it's like, I thank God that I have been blessed, you know, because I always say, I don't know why do some people say stay clean and some people don't stay clean. I don't think it's fair, you know, and I don't know why that is, and I don't try to figure it out. I just try to be here for the people that do make it back, because recovery and relapse says, if we make it back, you know. So I just want to say, I'm excited about life. I'm excited about Narcotics Anonymous, and I believe in unity. You know, and when I came here out of sheer desperation, didn't even know that I came here and was going to stay clean and not, you know, you all teach me how to, like, not use one day at a time. But when I came here, I was a very scared, wounded, sick woman. You know, and I was fearful for my life. You know, and real quick, I just want to tell you, like, where I came from. And I think it's my responsibility to the newcomer to tell you, like, how I got here and for real what it takes to stay here. You know, and when I got here, it was, like I said, it was out of sheer desperation. And like, I was so toxic and I couldn't even remember, like, where I came from. And my sister had 4 years clean. And I remember when I was using one day, she said, "Aren't you mad at Mom and Dad?" And I said, "For what?" And you see, I was so toxic and I had used for so long and had been caught up in everything we do that it takes to use. I had not a clue that I didn't know why I was using. I didn't know I was using over pain. My father was a Baltimore City homicide detective. Right? And my mother was this housewife. And all I remember is, like, I was 8 years old, and I guess I thought we had this nice little family life, and my father quit the police department, and he bought a bar in Baltimore. Right? So him and my mom could, like, make this good life for their two kids. But see, what they didn't know and what I didn't know was that they had the disease of addiction just like I do. You know, and they didn't have anywhere to take us kids because their disease progressed so far they didn't even, like, they couldn't care about us. So it was such a dramatic change where, like, they would care about us, and then all of a sudden they didn't, so they took us place to place to place to place. And the last resort for them to take us was to my grandmother and grandfather's house. And my grandmother and grandfather slept separately, and I was made to sleep with my grandfather. And my grandfather was a prisoner camp guard in World War II. And I don't think I need to say a whole lot else. I was tortured terribly as a child. From sexual abuse to being tied up, gagged, raped for years. And I learned how to emotionally check out. And see, when I got here, I couldn't tell you all none of that stuff. I didn't even, like, it was buried so far deep. But see, over all of that, what I learned how to do was steal, you know, greed, lust, envy, self-righteousness. I mean, I can just go right on down the line. And everything was everybody's fault, and the real deal was I was so ashamed of myself. Because I was told the messages over and over and over again by my grandfather how bad of a kid that I was, and I deserved everything that was happening to me. And when I got here in the Narcotics Anonymous, I got clean when I was 29 years old. And when I had 6 months clean, somebody was sharing in a meeting about basically, you know how somebody, you stick around here, you'll hear your story. And somebody, you know, was talking about it, and I thought they were talking, like, to me, and I finally had enough courage to tell my sponsor, like, some of the stuff that happened to me growing up. And God has blessed me to have the willingness to work these steps. And I didn't believe in God because, see, at one point, the only time I can remember I believed in God is when my grandfather used to make me walk up the street and hold his hand. Right? And there was this big weeping willow tree, and he told me it was snakes in it. And he used to make me stand in front of this weeping willow tree and time it for 5 minutes and told me the snakes were going to get me. And that might sound crazy to you, but it was torture to me. And I remember standing under that tree, right, going, God, please don't let them snakes get me. You see, but what happened was the abuse kept happening, and then there I started, there is no God. So nothing got placed in front of God. I started using real heavy at 13 years old. And I came in here and I started working the steps, right? And I was so fearful of using, I did my fifth step one day before I celebrated my first year clean. But see, I came out the fifth step the same person. And when I came out the fifth step the same person, it was so much self-hatred. You know, so I didn't like you all, so I mean, I hated myself so bad. And I was so fearful of picking up that next step and taking a look at myself. Because see, if I hated myself and I really took a look at where I came from, and I don't mean like off the streets or any of that, I'm talking about like really where did I come from? Then I would really hate myself. Because I was covering it up in here with service work and sponsorship. And, you know, but, you know, that hole in my stomach, you know, it was like the sixth step talks about being balled up in a ball of self-pity. And I'm telling you, there's times when people would come over my house and they would leave. And I'd be laying there on the floor like this. Oh! Because the pain and the loneliness was so deep. And it came to a point where I wanted to kill myself in Narcotics Anonymous at 2 years clean. And I had the courage to pick up the phone and call somebody who took me to somebody else's house, and they sat up and talked to me all night. And one of the things he said was, Karen, it's time for you to take a look at yourself. And he said, I don't mean off the streets. And I was so fearful because we come in here and we do our first step, our second step, our third step, and, you know, as we're writing on our fourth, you know, we do start to, like, trust this God, whatever God is at that time. And we're trying to find our way here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, so I could start praying like for my mom and my dad and for people that I would know in here and they go back out and use. And I could start praying. And I like just believed in you people and I got some hope and like maybe there is a God for me too. And I got on my sixth step and I knew I was either change we must or die we will. And if we don't do a four step, we don't even know who we are to find out what our defects are that we can even take to God. And I started like writing on my sixth step. And we didn't have a step guide, so my sponsor would make up questions. And I would write about like my day, like what happened and what I didn't see, and I couldn't stop stealing. And I couldn't stop sleeping with people. And I couldn't stop cheating. And I couldn't stop, like, wanting what you had. And I couldn't stop, I could just make, the list goes on. And the fear was running my life. The fear was running my life. And I don't know, the transformation takes place within us when we're working these steps that we don't even see it happening. And my sponsor said, just do it. And on the other side, you know, the healthy fear that I had was of using. So I started taking a look at myself. And at first, you know, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand these character defects. I didn't think I had any, to be honest with you. That was the problem. You know what I mean? You know? So it was like, I couldn't put it together, like, where, like, I'm doing all this stuff, but I couldn't put it together like it was a character defect until I started working it. You see, and what happened for me was that I became entirely ready to have God remove all this. But how do you do that? You know, how do I go to this God, right? The first thing, when I got this topic that popped up to me was that, why ask for something if we ain't ready for it? Says it in the basic text, sixth step. Right? So, you know, I would be lustful while I'm on my sixth step, you know, and in a relationship, sleeping with somebody, and I mean, stealing and just all this crazy stuff. Right? And after I would act out so bad, like, did you ever go to a place that you didn't want to go to and you go anyway? Do you know what I mean? And and you get there, you don't want to do it, but you do it anyway because we really, didn't have a choice. And then you do it and you want to kill yourself. That was my life, man. Using and in recovery. So I became entirely ready, and it was time for me to have, learn what humility was. And I didn't know what humility was. I was always humiliation. I was always humiliated. So if somebody would try to confront me on my behaviors, especially, in front of somebody, I was, raising my hand in the next meeting talking about it. Because I didn't understand we're here to carry the message, not the message to somebody sitting across the room. Right? And as soon as I walk in the meeting and see him in, I'd eye him up, and I knew I was sharing. Them humiliate me. Right? So it was time for me to get this relationship, with this God of my understanding that I didn't trust with my life, because I only had several or few experiences of what it really meant to let go and let God. Because, you know, the basic text tells us God will let us take our will back. So it was a process for me being able to, give it all to God. And then, you know, if the right thing came out the way I wanted, God, I trust you, I love you. But if it wasn't what I wanted, you know, the next situation to come up, I'd be like, look, God, I got this one. You just take off for a minute. I'll handle this. And I don't mean for a minute. I'm talking about days without prayer. Because I had this, desire and this illusion to control my life, man. Because I had no control when I was growing up. I learned that in the sixth step. Couldn't stop lying. Couldn't stop lying. And I would make jokes, and sometimes I still will. It takes a long time to stop lying around here. But you know what? And it's like we can be so consumed with fear, man. So consumed with it. So how do I go to this God and place anything and all of this in front of him and say, take it, God, and do what you want with me? Because you know what? My fear was this. That what would I do then? What would I do? Well, I won't be sleeping with anybody. That was my biggest thing. Right? I'm not going to have enough money because, see, I learned in my fifth step that why I kept stealing from my mother was out of fear of rejection, because when I would ask her for money, she wouldn't give it to me. Didn't matter. She didn't have it. So what I do? I sold it. What's the exact nature of my wrong? Greed. So there was never enough. So how am I going to pay my bills? Right? How am I going to fill that hole? What am I going to fill it with now? So here's how I started. I went to this young people's convention up in Pennsylvania years ago. They're the ones, this little group are the ones that wrote Youth in Recovery pamphlet. And I went up there and I heard this guy talk. He was about 19 years old. And he was talking about humility. And he said, it's simply just telling the truth of who you are at that moment. See, I could tell my sponsor, man, I just stole $50 again. Pack it full of money and stole $50. Couldn't sit still inside. See, and I could tell my sponsor, man, they're hot. Right? And I could tell you what you needed. And I could tell you if it wasn't done my way, it wasn't being done right. And I could love you as long as you were doing what I wanted you to do. But I gave unconditional love. So what I had to do, because once again, it was out of sheer desperation. I got on my knees, and it doesn't matter to me how you pray and who you pray to. When I first thought I found a God in here, your God better have been mine. And I'm talking about self-righteousness that was so embedded in me, man, just destroyed people around me in relationships and recovery. And I got on my knees, and I started with one, and it was the stealing. And I didn't get on my knees and say, God, please remove everything, because I was still fearful, but I was willing. I just had that little bit of willingness to try one of them. And I got on my knees and I said, just like I would tell my sponsor. And it was, see, it was time for me to get a relationship one-on-one with this God of my understanding. And it wasn't about me praying for the relationship and praying for the money and praying for this and praying for that. That's what I did when I was new. And I got on my knees and I said, God, I am a thief. And I humbly asked God to remove it. But I was also taught by people who got here before me to replace it with something else. And I said, God, please just help me to meet my needs. And the next day, I stole. And my disease said, this does not work. But what I learned through the process, I didn't give up, was that, you know, I would do the same thing the third step, say, give it and really take it back. Give it, take it back. Not telling anybody, of course. Right. See, because if you don't know, then I ain't doing it. Right? You don't know, I ain't doing it, all right? And you know what? I kept saying that prayer over and over and over and over again. And I haven't stolen in over 8 years. And I'm not talking about, like, I'm talking about I haven't took a pen home from my job. And I'm not talking about 8 years ago, God removed this. I'm talking about when I was in a store and maybe I had 5 or 6 years clean and I knew how to steal that. Then I would be like, God, I'm begging you, please, to remove this. Because the greed was still so embedded in me and still is. So I went to the next one. Right? And of course, you know, it don't happen like that. Okay, you know, life situations and all the people in my life, it's only just going to be like the stealing first. Right? Then, okay, the self-righteousness starts acting out. Let me tell you something. I could do them all in a matter of a minute. In a matter of a minute. But remember, I'm still willing. Still willing to have placed anything in front of God. Because it doesn't say on this topic, and it may be removed, or it could be removed. And from my experience of stopping the stealing, right, I knew God will remove it. So I started getting cautious of what I was going to place in front of God. Right? I told you, man, I was wounded when I got here. But see, at that point in the middle of it, I would tell you all in the meeting, oh yeah, I'm on my seventh step, and you know, and God can move mountains, man, look at me. Right? Whole time I'm being cautious. Okay, what's next? You know, and finally it did come to a point where, like, I was on my knees because, see, I started getting this relationship one-on-one with this God. And I was on my knees and I got to a point where, like, you know what? I really, really do trust God. Wow. And it was like, wow. And I gave it all to him. All of it. And I'm here to tell you I'm not the same person. And I believe also that, you know, I learned that I continued on with the steps. And my 10th step, when I did my 10th step, taught me about vigilance. And vigilance is like being aware of what endangers our recovery. So I knew, like, if I was, you know, because, see, if I don't like the way I feel, I would become obsessive and compulsive in anything, so I didn't have to feel the way I felt. So I could be aware of when I didn't feel right, I wouldn't go to the mall. Because I might have stole. And I asked God to just remove everything, God. And I got into a relationship. I was in two when I got here. Had three of them coming at me once at the N.A. Bowl. Because, see, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. That's the truth. And I also learned that omission was lying. Because I had an ego that wouldn't quit. And this relationship I was in was in, out, in, out, in, out. Right? I mean, it was crazy. And they dumped my butt again. And I saw the sponsor the next day, that night. I mean, the obsessive, compulsive, and couldn't stop calling them. Crazy out of my mind. And the next day I saw the sponsor. They said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "All right, if they would stop calling me." See, I thought I was good. Right? Right? So, what I'm here to tell you again is that I am not the same person. And I was told when I got here, this is my home. And I hadn't had any kind of a home all of my life. And I've made Narcotics Anonymous truly my home. And again, I'm very, very excited about life, and I'm excited about Narcotics Anonymous, and I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that I can only keep what I have by giving it away. And if I'm not up here, in here with all you people and going to meetings and working on my step and doing all the same things, I'm not going to keep what I have because I'd be so isolated, like the first step tells us, that I ain't going to have nobody to give it away to. Been in a relationship, may it be 9 years. Have never once stepped outside of that relationship. Not one time. But remember, because I remember, I got a disease that's powerful, man. And I don't like the situation that I'm in with my relationship. But see, the longer that I went on with these steps, right? I learned how to pray only for knowledge of God's will for me and the strength to carry it out. And the relationship that I'm in, my partner is very ill. See, and it's that true feeling of powerlessness because the God's honest truth, we don't know if she's going to live or die. And I've had moments where I have been able to say, "God, please, if it's your will, take them." Because how do I know? I don't even know what God's plan is for me. How do I know what it is for them? How do I know what it is for you or you or you? How do I know that if I share with somebody because they're like in a crazy relationship or whatever it might be and I tell them, "You need to do this." How do I know that, like, God's ready for them to do this? How do I know that if I don't tell them, you know, sit there and say, "You need to, like, get out of this relationship, and you need," and they do it out of my suggestion, and they couldn't handle it, don't kill themselves. See, and that's the self-righteousness that's been removed from me. Every single defect in my character is still here. And it could happen in the next 5 minutes. I forever need to be vigilant. I have to know what endangers my recovery. Because I will use. And I have an understanding that we are all alike. And I have an understanding that I am no better than anybody else. God has blessed me with me not thinking I'm better than, like the basic text talks about, the inferior and superiority complex we have around here. And any time I put myself up here, it was because, man, I hated myself at that minute. So without a shadow of a doubt, I believe anything I place before God will be gone. It was a process of being able to place it in front of Him. Just like the third step. You know, your will, my will, your will, my will. I'm blessed that I have been open-minded to believe in a God again. I'm blessed to know that I do not run my life. And I'm also, you all are blessed that I believe I don't run yours either, you know? My first sponsee was my first, like, victim, you know? The girl's still using. I don't think that's, I'm not saying that funny, but she's still using. Because my self-righteousness knew the way. I had a year clean. And the doctor came home and told her she needed to be on antidepressants. And I said, man, you don't need that shit. The girl was nuts. This is the way. Yeah. And she ain't doing good. You know what I mean? She really ain't. So you all have been blessed these steps working my life. How much more time do I have? I don't know how much time I have, but it's... Okay. I just really, really, truly want to thank you all for loving me. In spite of myself. Because people would say, "Well," I remember the first time somebody said, "We'll love you till you learn to love yourself." And you know what I said? I ain't going to say it. Yeah. And see, and I was the addict who came in here like, no detox, because it doesn't matter how we get clean. Basic text says that we can cold turkey or we can go to a detox. And I was the one that was in the back of the rooms going, oh, I can't do this, oh, you know, oh. And somebody look at me and I'd be cussing like crazy at them. And there was a guy who was sharing, and he said, you know, if you don't pick it up, you won't put it in you. And I'm in the back of the room like this. Yeah, how do you do that? Right? The whole room turned around and said, I mean the whole room. Hey, keep coming back. You know, I never thought I could be restored to sanity, much less be able to pray only for knowledge of God's will for me and the strength to carry it out. Because, see, I could do the first part of, you know, God, I want to pray only for knowledge of your will for me. And, man, it was smacked right in front of me. And I couldn't do it. And I knew we have our answers. And I knew what to do. Where was I going wrong? Because I wouldn't pray for the strength to carry it out. Because I have the experience that anything I place in front of God will be removed. So anyway, I don't do it all the time, guys. I mean, for real. You know, I mean, I struggle still. And we have our difficulties. Especially when my partner's sick. And they're suffering. Right? How do you go on? How do you, you know, I was told we need to thank God for everything. And when my partner was diagnosed, how do I thank God that they could die? But you know what I did? I got up every morning and I thanked God for what they were being diagnosed. And I thank God for, like, the situation being in my life. And I thank God for everything and I named it in detail. And what I know now today is that that situation has built my character. And it's made me a better person, man. Because when everybody's out at the NA events, you know what? I'm sitting home. And I ain't sitting home angry and resentful. I'm sitting home in case they might need something. Because I'm like NA party animal. You know, my life has changed. And I went with it. You know, stepping out of my comfort zone is difficult. But anyway, I want to thank this convention, this region, for asking me to come here. I've been having the best time. I've had an opportunity. My sponsor's going to pay me $20 for this, or home groups, Live and Let Live. So... And I thought I'd say that at the end because I think the greed kicked my butt when she told me she paid me to say it, right? Yeah. Just kidding. But anyway, it's really been like an honor, like really an honor to be here, you know. And I'm truly grateful. I don't take it for granted that Narcotics Anonymous will always be here. But I know as long as I try to make NA a better place, that there's a good possibility we'll stick and stay. So I'll keep coming back.
I'd like to thank her for coming out and sharing her experience, Grace and Hope. For our next speaker, we have Mike from New York. Our family, my name is Mike. I'm definitely at it. From Brooklyn, New York. Always have to say, man, that always have to thank my high power that I ain't get up dope sick, crack crazy, alcohol dependent. And this fellowship from saving my life. You know I'm nervous. And I was like, listen there, you know, when I came in this fellowship, I came in on a TWA, an ass whooping. And when I got here, yeah, I was laughing and I ain't see a motherfucking thing funny. Because I was dope sick. And y'all said, keep coming back. I'm talking about the seed was planted already and I ain't even know it. The seed was planted. Always thank God for each and now, man. You know, and see in New York, you know, well, from Brooklyn, New York, man, I'm blessed because a lot of my friends, they died and never got a chance to hear the message. I ain't do nothing good to get here. I lied, I cheated, I manipulated. So, my negative thinking always told me that God punished me because, number one, my black ass always went to jail. That's that thinking that always told me. I thought that, I came from a good family, you know, a half-ass family. Because I never want to see y'all to see me getting on that cheese line. Father and mother had a half-ass job. You know, I was like, out of seven of us, seven sisters and four brothers, and they always told me, say, you're going to be a faggot. And I told them, I'm going to show you. And so I portrayed this image. And like I said, that as I was growing up, you know, the portray that I showed them. And I remember like my father saying, boy, I brought you here, and I'm going to take your ass out of here. And he was 6'5". He was had them big ass hands. I don't know if I was the black sheep of my motherfucking family. I don't know if I was the black sheep. But I'll tell you one thing. I got misformed information. When nobody, was talking about getting clean. My bottom, I was a bum with an image. I was a bum. So we talking about place anything before God, we been moved. I placed a lot of shit before God. You know, help me out this time. I won't do it no more. If you get me out of this motherfucking trouble, I won't be back no more. You know, and I ran with that for a long time. I ran with it for a long time. You know, I went to church. You know, I was the president of the Usher Board. So I thought so that I had some stripes. You know, I was 15, president of the Usher Board. You know what I'm saying? You know, and the only reason why I went to church, because my pops would give me $2-3. That was a lot of money back then. You know? And some reason, you know, God, you know, I always used to hear about God. And I, like, you know, I always had like a misconception about God. So anyway, one day when it did suck on me, you know, and through my act of addiction, and I just like to be like remember like a lot of them times like going to jail and like was a cop out man, you know praying they were saying like, Pop get your ass up, Pop get your ass up, they was calling me Pop, you know but when I got in this fellowship. And y'all talked about God. We talking about, y'all was that power greater than myself at the time. You know, y'all was that power greater than myself when I got here. You know, I heard people say that you could have a high power as a chair and all that. I didn't run with that. Y'all needed y'all. I needed some living proof. Y'all was examples. Y'all was examples of the power. You know, and I seen miracles happening in your life. You know, I even asked a couple people, you know, how to like, because it was new to me. All this was like new when I came to the fellowship. It was real new. You know, so I was willing to try anything. So this was real new. And I like remember like getting a sponsor. I had to get somebody. And I remember my first sponsor, he died with like some clean time. And then I had to take another risk. But in the process, it took me 3 years to know what a sponsor about. You know, all I wanted to do is just like stay clean and still have that old ass behavior. That negative behavior with my impulse of thinking and my fixed idea. So, my mouth is dry. And like, I mean like going to like, we talking about like, when I came into fellowship, you know, we talking about the love, you know what I'm saying, talking about like, placing anything before God would be removed, and I'm like, I remember like a lot of time, I placed a lot of things, you know, I placed, you know, relationships, you know, I placed like my, you know, other people, you know, things, I placed them before God, and it got removed. It got removed. It took me to go through what I had to go through on this journey. And that's why I love this. This is a journey. This is a journey. You know, and I still keep coming to the meetings. You know what I'm saying? I remember like in my first year, we talking about when I started like getting close to God. I remember my first year I lost my sister. I remember my second year I lost another sister. I remember my third year I lost another sister. I remember my fourth year I lost another sister. I remember my fifth year losing my brother. I remember like in my sixth year losing my nephew who committed suicide. I'm talking about it was only direction of getting close to my God and my understanding. You know, and having y'all people in my life. See, one thing I know, when I need you the less, I know I need you the most. You know what I'm saying? My God defined more than good. He deserved awesome. Because he brought a bum like me to a beautiful place like this. He brought me to a beautiful place like this. And I go to any length for my recovery. I go to any length for my recovery. And that's why I love this fellowship. You know, I'm like overwhelmed. You know what I'm saying? I'm like overwhelmed, you know, to be in Ocean Hill, Maryland. You know, because when I was out there, didn't nobody even want to fuck with me at the bottom. You know, they didn't even want to fuck with me. They said, there that low-ass nigga go. There go that low-ass Mike. If that's him, you know how they started hiding? See you coming? You know, but like I said, this program is the best thing that ever happened. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that y'all told me to get a God of my understanding. Something greater than myself. You know, and I remember, like, you know, going through some things and having some uncles and things in my way. And I remember God removing them. I remember, like, going to jail clean. And looked up and said, why me? Because that was God doing. You know, I don't jump off the roof in a single bound. No, I don't bend no steel with my bare hand. I still fuck up. I'm learning to get better. A day at a time. Show me a perfect addict and guide me to him. And then I know to stay the fuck away from him. Everybody is like so fucking perfect. You must be in the wrong motherfucking place.
Right.
I'm a dope fiend. You know, but this is a keep coming back program, and we do get better. We do get better. And I'm getting better day at a time. Because no matter what, I know that using ain't the answer for me.
Right.
You know, I come here and I ask for help. You know, I come here, you know, and I get honest. You know, because I got a couple of people in my life, you know what I'm saying, that I could talk to and, like, get honest. Because let me tell you something. I suffer with the same damn disease you suffer with.
Right.
It's baffling, insidious, and it's cunning. And it compounds me, and it make your ass a liar. I was listening to her, I was like, wow, that was me. You know, so I'm trying to, like, get better in some areas in my life that I looked at like 6 years ago I was. You know, so she talking about stealing. I'm talking about hustling in recovery. She talking about stealing. I'm talking about cunning motherfuckers in recovery. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to justify that I ain't selling no drugs. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to justify and rationalize and talk about in our literature the most outrageous nonsense. That was me. You know, I ain't hurt nobody. Y'all ain't gonna pay my motherfucking rent neither. See how baffling it is? But y'all kept telling me it's about to change. I kept hearing it, and I kept coming to the meetings. God will do what you can't do for yourself. Every time when I go on self-will, God removes that right from me. And sometimes it's like, it takes a little time. It's going to take a little moment. But when he come, he removed that motherfucker right quick. Then I go to, like, my home group. You know what they said they called me? They go going through ass Mike. They said they go going through ass Mike. And I still hug them unconditionally. And this is an unconditional program. Have my God love you. In spite of yourself, I have to, because the program have taught me to love another individual. We say, those who judge don't matter. That's bullshit, it matters. It matters what you think of me, but it's what do I answer to. So like, I still keep showing up and I still keep being there for them. Because I know my God didn't bring me on this journey for nothing. I have to honestly know that. Because like I said, a lot of my friends, they never got a chance to hear the message. They never got a chance to hear this message. I don't take myself so serious, but I take my recovery serious. And guess what? I love carrying the message. I love carrying the message. I'm committed to the fellowship. I'm committed to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and that's why I keep coming to the meetings. You know, and like I said, you know, God has been so like awesome to me. Like I said, I have to touch on, because I was the type of individual, I struggled with God for a long time. For a long time. But the blessing is that he works through people. I believe my God works through people. You know, I mean, when I got here, they say, believe that I believe. I said, wow, that shit stuck with me. Believe that I believe. It worked, Mike. I ain't see no reason. I've been in Mars. 1194. I ain't seen no reason to go back out. I ain't seen no reason to go back out. You know, and it talks about why we're here. I placed the youth ahead of my wife, family of my wife. But most of all, I harm myself. I keep it right up front for me. You know, that keeps us right there. And it talks about. And basic text, first step. And I like when it talks about that. It said, it ain't where you was that count. It's where you want to go.
Right.
And that's what I love. That keeps it refined and fresh for me. But I meant to plead defeat before I got here. You got to be sure that you had a thoroughly ass whooping before you got here. You got to make sure you had a thoroughly ass whooping before you got here. See, I came in with arrows in my ass. I don't know about y'all. I sniffed a lot of dope and I smoked a lot of crack. With a short ass stem like that. And then a motherfucker told me, he said, don't push it. I placed that before anything. Then I went one day, you know, I said, he gave me five soaps. Right, my banker said he made a mistake. So I went back and he gave me five Ivy Springs. But they didn't tell me that I had a problem. Lo and behold, they didn't tell me that I had a problem. I had a lot of bottoms. I had some bottoms in the 70s and 80s and 90s. But I ain't do a damn thing about it. This last bottom was like, we talking about that power greater than myself. I was trapped in the trap door. And that power greater than myself pulled me up. I'm talking about the power in the rooms that we have. I'm talking about the power's in the rooms. I can't go nowhere else and get it. But in Narcotics Anonymous. Let me tell you something. I done been so-called so many places, but they threw my ass out. See, here, y'all can't kick me out. Y'all can't kick me out here. You know, and that's the blessing of this fellowship. You know, I was so grateful that, you know, that I had people that, like, can do for me what I can't do for myself. You know, I was panicked. It was the first time that, you know, that I spoke at a convention. And I had people like, we talking about God works through people. And they was like, I'm going to get you here. You know, and I was like, you know, jitter. You know, the bugs crawling. But I know that long as I follow this way, I have nothing to fear. Long as I follow this way, I have nothing to fear just for the day. I found some new associates, people who found a new way of living. So that's why I say it's always about staying clean for me. It's always about staying clean for this addict. Because I know I don't have a drug problem until I pick it up. You know, and like I said, that anything that I put before God, I don't put nothing before my recovery, because I know it will be taken. None of that other material little shit. See, it's good to have that shit. You know God will take that shit away from you. You know what I'm saying? But I know when I get obsessed with them things, then I'm in trouble. Because they can't keep me clean. You know, it's an inside job. You know, but I had to, you know, put on a, you know, starter kit when I first got here to make me feel a little good about myself, because I came in this fellowship with no sting. I had people talk about they had low self-esteem. I had no sting. You know, so after, like, you know, being here, getting a little thing, started feeling a little good about myself. You know what I'm saying? And y'all said keep coming back. And that's what I do. I keep coming back. Y'all told me I want to know how much I did, who my connection was, what little one, how much, only what we can do and how we can help with your problem. And that stuck with me. You know, I'm grateful. Y'all told me grateful addicts don't use no matter what. Right. Y'all said grateful addicts don't use no matter what. And I keep that up front. You know, my ride has been bumpy. But just for the day, I ain't going to get off. I'm not going to get off the journey. You know, I'm getting close to my God of my understanding. You know, I know that I'm here to carry the message to the addict that come behind me. I don't want to think I get too big for this program. Right. You know, I got a disease that's self-centered. You know, and think that I can get too big for this motherfucker. I don't want to be too big for this program, because I know that I just lost it. So I stay humble, keep some humility in my life. You know, reach out to people. You know, do service for this fellowship. When I say serve, I'm committed to it. I ain't got to hide behind the fellowship. Now, Cox Anonymous gave me the best life I ever lived. But if I forget about that motherfucker, I'm eligible to be right back on that motherfucker's side again. So I keep that up front. You know, it's a program for people that want it. Not for those who need it. You know, and it's a blessing that we pray at every meeting. We pray. You know, and thank God y'all pray me in. Thank God. Because it said, on the flip side of our coin, it says self, God, and society. That no addict seeking recovery need never die. It said, my gratitude speaks when I share and care to any way. That's the flip side of the coin. So I keep that light. You know, I stay open-minded. I stay teachable. And I stay vigilant on this journey. You know, and I keep showing up to grow up. You know, I know that this a journey. We don't have no fucking destination on this motherfucker. So I keep that up front. You know, and I like, you know, I feel like overwhelmed. You know, I feel like real, real, real overwhelmed to be in Maryland. You know, and I'm gonna keep coming back. You know, I'm gonna keep coming back to show up to grow up. You know, if you're new, welcome to life. If you're new to this program, welcome to life. If you're old, keep coming. I need you. If you're new, keep coming. I need you. I thank God this is a keep coming back program. You know, and like I said, you know, I know that if I put anything before my recovery, that I know it would be removed. You know, because my experience showed me every time that I put something in front of it, it was removed. Vehicle, whatever, it was removed. Because I have to, like, ask God for that. When I don't ask God for it, you know what I'm saying? His will and not my will. You know, you know, it's like, feel like overwhelming. You know, I'm things like, you know, I'm so grateful I have a good sponsor in my life. And he go to every distance with me. Every distance he goes with me. You know, and we know that we can be agreeable without being disagreeable. You know? He showed me it's a two-way street. He tells me, I shows him it's a two-way street. He said, no big eyes, no big shots. He said, because we all shot. You know, I'm talking about having people in your life that step to the plate for you. You know how we got people say that I'm going to be there for you. We know that people, right? You hear people say, people will fail you. I know that God won't fail me, and I know the program won't fail me. And people that's blessed in my life have yet to fail me. And that's a blessing for me. You know, thanks for letting me share.